This is an iHeart podcast.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? My drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of the Jordan Harbinger Show.
More leftist violence against people on the right. We have a Supreme Court hearing, show trial, campaign event. I'll explain. And finally, well, a lesson in manners. All that's coming up right now on I'm Right. Happy Columbus Day to everybody. Just a heads up, it is not Indigenous Peoples Day. It's Columbus Day. And look, I say this as a history freak, an American history freak, as somebody who loves the various Indian tribes. The Comanche were always my favorite. Sioux, awesome as well. Highly recommend you look into the Blackfeet because they're, well, sweet. So this is not an anti-Indian, Indian versus Columbus thing. This is Christopher Columbus's holiday. And you can dislike Christopher Columbus for a variety of reasons, but allow me to just say this. I'm not going to go off on a tangent on this. The world is built by people like Christopher Columbus. If you're going to sit and scream about all the various ways he screwed up or flat out did really, really wrong, well, look in the mirror. How you doing? I know how I'm doing. How are you doing? Are you all good? A little bit of both. But the world we have is built by men who take huge risks at potentially life-ending costs, and they do it anyway. If you're a human being who begs, borrows, and steals for old sailing ships so you can aim them west and sail out into the middle of the ocean, which is frightening today with modern technology, you have my respect now and forever. I understand he didn't land on the continental USA. I understand he died thinking he had reached, you know, India, essentially. I get all that. Don't care. That is next level bravery, and you and I luxuriate in the United States of America because people do brave things. Really, really brave things. And I do find it funny that a bunch of unaccomplished dorks these days sit on their iPhones in their home in the air conditioning with running water, paved roads, top-tier healthcare system, food, endless amounts of food. And I don't like Christopher Columbus. He was a racist. He did something. What have you done? Go do something. Now, moving on from that, told you I wasn't going to stay. See, I'm on a roll today. Denver. We have another shooting in Denver. Another person on the right dead. Now, I am going to get into very few details on this, mainly because, well, we never know what's real anymore. And let me walk you through a brief timeline of what happened from what we understand so far. There's a fight between the dude who got shot and the dude who did the shooting. You know, I'll show you a brief moment. Don't worry, I'm not going to show you anything violent. Here's the brief moment.
Don't touch me, old man. Don't touch me, old man. Don't touch me, man. Don't touch me. Fuck around and find out. Fuck around and find out.
Okay. Obviously, you saw the direction that was going. It was a pro-America protest. Those are always going to attract the other side. That's just the nature of where we are now, and you don't have to look hard to try to find people who hate this country within the borders of America. Sad but true. It ends up poorly. Here's another. I always tell you if I think it might be inappropriate for your kids, don't worry, this is nothing bad. It ends up with, well, something bad happens. Here's a distant video from it. A man is dead. He was spraying bear spray, we know that. The person who did the shooting is in handcuffs, I believe. He is up for first-degree murder charges. The reason I'm not going into more details is, one, it's so fresh. Two, again, let me reemphasize this. We got so many mixed stories right after this happened. Immediately after it happened, people were reporting things like the guy who did the shooting is Antifa. And then we heard from various authorities. I mean, we're talking news organizations, Denver's police department. No, he's not Antifa. He's actually a security guard, a real security guard. Not just a security guard, he works for the Pinkerton Detective Agency, who everybody's heard of. And then it comes out, he's not worked for Pinkerton, not affiliated with Pinkerton. Pinkerton actually comes out and says, we don't know this dude. This dude doesn't work for us. Essentially, everybody's rolling their eyes right now, wondering, well, wait, who is the guy? Well, look, let's just set that aside for a moment. And let's deal with the facts on the ground. And these are the facts on the ground. We don't have a day or two now of leftist violence against people on the right. We have years. You do remember that all this began with a Bernie Sanders supporter arming up, hunting down, and trying to assassinate multiple GOP members of Congress, right? You remember that? Steve Scalise hauled off the field in an ambulance with a bunch of little holes in his body. You remember that? And then it's been assault after assault after assault, murder after murder after murder. This is two times over the course of just a few weeks where a Trump supporter ends up dead with a bullet in his head. And yet, what do you see everywhere you look now? Every single media station is running reports, running these specials on right-wing violence, white supremacist violence. We have our own moron FBI director, Christopher Wray, testifying before Congress. Oh, domestic terror is a huge threat, and obviously white supremacist violence is it's the tip of that. That's the bulk of it, he said. Now, obviously nobody wants to see white supremacist violence, but when's the last time you saw any? Have you run into a lot of white supremacists lately? Seen a lot of that? Seen a lot of left-wingers dead in the street because a white supremacist put a bullet in his eye? You've seen a lot of that? I'm 39 years old. I haven't seen a lot of that in my lifetime. What I have seen is black supremacists murdering people. I've seen Antifa people murdering people. I've seen leftists of all shapes and sizes and colors murdering people and assaulting people for 4 years now on the right. Murdering people and assaulting them on the right. And you know what I get? News story after news story and our idiot FBI talking about white supremacists. Where are these white supremacists? I have never met one. And I'm white. I'm tired of being lied to time and time again. And setting aside the lies that I'm being told time and time again, you know what else I'm tired of? I'm tired of leftists who hate this country and hate Donald Trump and hate Republicans and hate. That's fine. You hate who you want. I hate people too. Like the person who invented sour cream. We're going to set that aside for now. But you hate all this stuff. But then they're out there every single day saying what? Nazi, Nazi, white supremacist, Nazi. And I don't just mean some low-level stooge. I mean Nancy Pelosi, third in line for the presidency, standing up at the podium talking about things like the 25th Amendment for the removal of the president. We have Joe Biden talking about Donald Trump, white supremacist. Well, white supremacist, there's white supremacy. When you have rhetoric like that, from the very top, not some wing nut somewhere, from the very, very top, that filters down. Now, what's it filtering down to? It's filtering down to an emotionally stable public. Is that fair? An emotionally unstable public? If you're a rabid left winger, you've had now 4 years of being told that your entire socialist utopia is under attack, and it's under attack from those Nazis. How weak up here? How much does it take you to break and start hurting people when you think you're fighting Nazis and doing the right thing? This rhetoric has consequences. You know, I saw Keith Olbermann, the former sports dude who now is just a left-wing lunatic. I saw he went on this rant this weekend, and I'm about to show it to you. Hang on. He went on this rant this weekend, and everybody on the right was freaking out because he sounds like such an unhinged lunatic, and he does, don't get me wrong, but you tell me what he says here that doesn't sound like it could come from the mouth of Nancy Pelosi these days.
Trump can be and must be expunged. The hate he has triggered, the Pandora's box he has opened, they will not be so easily destroyed. So, let us brace ourselves. The task is twofold. The terrorist Trump must be defeated, must be destroyed, must be devoured at the ballot box. And then he and his enablers and his supporters and his collaborators and the Mike Lees and the William Barrs and the Sean Hannitys and the Mike Pences and the Rudy Giulianis and the Kyle Rittenhouses and the Amy Coney Barretts must be prosecuted and convicted and removed from our society while we try to rebuild it.
Terrorist Trump, prosecuted, convicted, removed from society. People hear these words. And sooner or later, the wrong person hears these words and decides to act on them. And I have something that's a little heavy. You know, I don't like to bring it down here, but they're not going to stop acting on them. We have a huge portion of our society, especially lower income people who've had their jobs removed because of this idiotic coronavirus stuff. Okay, now you've taken away people's jobs. Now we know from rehab centers, suicide hotlines, and others that people's alcohol and drug addiction is through the roof because of all this madness. They're getting suicidal. What I'm saying is somebody who was teetering on the edge yesterday maybe goes back into the bottle or pills or whatever it may be, and then turns on the television set at night and finds out that he's fighting against Nazi terrorists who needs to be prosecuted and removed from society. And maybe that somebody decides to act on it. And let me ask you something. Do you think they're going to stop using rhetoric like that anytime soon? And one last thing. You sat and you just watched that insane rant from Keith Olbermann. Did he sound like a man who thought he was in the wrong? Or did he sound like a man who thought he was some leftist warrior on the front lines against evil? They do these things. They kill you and assault you all the time because they think they're right. That's the most frightening part, because people who think they're right don't stop. Ever. They keep going. This isn't a bank robber who's going to retire in his old age. If you're a leftist thinking you're out there murdering Nazis, well, let me ask you, when does it stop being acceptable to hurt Nazis? Isn't that always acceptable? Protect yourself. It's a scary world. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Now, speaking of protect yourself, I'm thrilled. I'm getting all of your emails, how much you love your iTarget. I got my iTarget. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Do not thank me. I mean, I'm glad you're happy. And obviously, I know it's an incredible product. But just get it and practice. Get it and practice over and over again. iTarget is a laser bullet. So you don't have to buy $100 of ammo every time you want to practice with your weapon. They send you this laser bullet in the caliber of your choice. You put it in your weapon. Yes, your real weapon. In your home, they send you a target with it, and you sit and practice, real practice, in the comfort of your home, without gun range fees, without ammo fees. And at the end of that practice time, not only did you relieve a little stress, it's actually very, very fun, you also made sure your family and yourself are a little bit safer. Go to itargetpro.com. That's itargetpro.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Save 10%. We'll be back. I know what you're thinking. Wow, Jesse, you're the best. This is the best show ever. But why didn't you lead your show with the Amy Coney Barrett hearing? Well, here's why. One, I'm much, much, much more concerned about the rise of left-wing violence in this country, a rise that the media has hidden for so long. Now it's ramping up because there's been no self-examination. So I'm much more concerned about that than I am this. Why is that? Well, the Supreme Court is important. Don't get me wrong, it matters a lot. Couple things. One, I actually do think, although I've been cynical about it, I do think Amy Coney Barrett's going to be whisked through. Democrats only have themselves to blame for that. When you turn Brett Kavanaugh into an alcoholic serial rapist, don't look at anybody but yourself. The next time a nominee comes up, a Republican just kind of wink, 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 nod, nod, go ahead and go on in. We're not going to allow these psychopaths to destroy your life again. That's one. Two, I'm tired of congressional hearings. And this is why I'm tired of it. I've had years of them now. Years of them. And now you've probably had as many or more of watching this congressman say this and this senator say that and blah, 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 blah. I get so much of this and I don't get very much doing that I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the Supreme Court hearing already, and it's been one day of it. I understand exactly what it is now. I understand the game. I get it completely. None of this stuff matters. None of this stuff is actually trying to work things out. None of this stuff is actually even trying to win. Democrats are out there fundraising. Republicans are out there fundraising. This, all these hearings, every single one of them, even ones I'm interested in and look forward to, they're just gigantic fundraising events. So why would I enjoy that anymore on my dime? And keep that in mind all the time. As you watch these people do these things, you're a political person, so am I. I watched too, guilty as charged. But I have to tell you, I'm watching today, I'm sitting back and watching this, and I'm thinking to myself, that's my money. That's my time. How do your tax checks look? What kind of tax bill you get? Don't divorce that from what you see on television as these people spout off their stupid little speeches on both sides. And then 10 minutes later, all of a sudden you get a fundraising email. Help Senator so-and-so. Help him stop the leftist scourge. Look at what he said in the ACB hearing today. And the Democrats are doing the same thing. Look at Senator Blumenthal, the lion of communism, out there fighting for all of us on the left. And I'm sick of it because I don't see any emotion at all. And I'm, you know, I'll tell you where this is coming from. Full disclosure here, I always give you honesty from me on the show. I'm still mad about the AG Barr Durham investigation stuff. And this is why I'm mad. Because I had all the threats in the world from half these senators we're about to cheer on over the next week or so of these hearings, and they're gonna give great sound bites. Looking at you, Lindsey Graham, and people like him. And we're gonna be like, wow, that was awesome. Look at Lindsey Graham, look at how he fights for us. All right, tell me who's in jail for the FBI nonsense. If I sound bitter about it, it's because I am. President Barack Obama, all the evidence points to the fact he coordinated with the head of the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the head of the Central Intelligence Agency to link up with the Hillary Clinton campaign and knowingly use bad information to obtain a FISA warrant to spy on Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton's political opponent. And I heard all these threats and all this outrage from all these Republicans. You couldn't turn on the television set without an elected Republican telling you, people are going down, someone's going to jail. This is an outrage. October 12th. I know you've seen me check my watch before. It still says October 12th. The election's 3 weeks away, give or take. Nobody's going to jail. Nobody. Certainly nobody who made these decisions. So again, I ask you, why should I care about your latest show trial at all? Tell me why I should care. Because last time I cared a lot when all this evidence was laid out and we have all these new revelations about just how bad Barack Obama's FBI and CIA and just how bad Hillary Clinton was and all the things they did to Donald Trump in that election cycle. Now, I haven't seen anybody actually do anything about it. Oh, AG Barr is investigating. Let me tell you something. And this is going to hurt, all right? And believe me, it hurts to say it, but it's important you and I understand this. You can think that America can't be polled accurately right now, and I agree with you. You can say, don't believe any of the polls. I also agree with you there. But in every single national poll, Joe Biden is up and up significantly for the presidency of the United States of America. So let me ask you this. What do you think happens if Joe Biden wins the election, which he's favored to do 3 weeks from now? What do you think happens to that AG Barr investigation into Barack Obama and James Comey? Into John Brennan, Hillary Clinton. It all goes like dust in the wind, gone. I don't know if I'm looking at an intentional stall job of investigation. I don't know whether I'm just dealing with people who look like they move like a snail wading through molasses. I don't know what exactly is happening here, but I know my eyes and ears tell me I heard and saw a whole lot of threatening aimed at the left for the disastrous crap they pulled in that election, and I haven't seen a whole lot of doing. Who's in handcuffs? Who's in handcuffs? Who's going away to a dark cell for years? And if the answer is nobody, and it sure looks like nobody, then tell me why I should care about all your new Senate trial stuff. Sorry, I'm fresh out of caring. There are a few good ones, though. We do pay homage to them from time to time. Senator Cruz, he's one of them.
I think we're going to have a full and a fair hearing, and it's going to be an opportunity to consider Judge Barrett's qualifications. I hope it doesn't go down the road it went last time. I hope we don't see Senate Democrats turning it into a political circus like they did with Justice Kavanaugh. I hope we don't see the kind of personal smears directed at her family, directed at her faith.
I'll tell you, I don't think we're going to see a ton of it. I'm going to show you a few of the highlights from today, but I don't know if we're going to see a ton of that. Like I predicted before, they're going to yell and scream, and they're certainly going to trash her, and yes, they're going to trash up her faith and things like that. There's no question that's what these people do. However, I don't know if their heart's in it anymore. I will tell you in a private moment, not the leftist base, they're insane, but these Democrat senators, I will tell you in a private moment, they know we probably took that a little too far with Kavanaugh. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You've done that in a fight with your wife or your husband. Moment of anger. Said something maybe about your mother-in-law you shouldn't have. Oh. And later on, you don't necessarily want to apologize for it, but you know, man, I'm really going to have to be on my best behavior for a while. That was probably a little too far. I think they know. We probably took that a little too far. Right about the time we were accusing Brett Kavanaugh, who's the biggest square in the history of mankind, of leading a gang rape gang, maybe that was too far. Maybe crossed the line there just a touch. Now, here are some of the highlights today. Blumenthal.
Your participation, let me be very blunt, in any case involving Donald Trump's election would immediately do explosive, enduring harm to the court's legitimacy and to your own credibility. You must recuse yourself.
Doesn't it seem weird how much Democrats are invested in keeping the Supreme Court out of this next election? I don't want to get off on a tangent here. I'll talk about it later on this week in the show, but just as a side note, they've been talking about this a lot. The Supreme Court's going to get involved in the election. Supreme Court has to stay out of it. Amy Coney, she has to stay out of it. Well, the Supreme Court doesn't have anything to do with the election, unless it gets challenged all the way up to the Supreme Court. Is that something Democrats are planning on? Amy Klobuchar had this to say.
We cannot divorce this nominee and her views from the election we are in. We didn't choose to do this now, to plop a Supreme Court nomination hearing in the middle of an election. They did. So the reason people aren't going to fall for this is because it is so personal. The over 210,000 people who have died, the school canceled, the small business closed, the job you don't have, the degree you couldn't get.
These people were so not genuine. If you're wondering what that gigantic poster was of that, I mean, looked like somebody's softball picture or something like that. This is how serious these people are. Democrats brought in a bunch of full size, I mean, huge pictures of families who could potentially lose their health care if Amy Coney Barrett is nominated for the Supreme Court or is accepted into the Supreme Court. Good grief. Josh Hawley seemed very interested in protecting ACB, to his credit.
Judge Barrett is a Catholic. We all know that. She's a devout Catholic. We all know that. She and her husband have chosen to raise their family according to their Catholic beliefs in faithful fellowship with other Catholics. We all know that. Heck, 65 million Americans are Catholics, and many, many, many millions more are Christians of other persuasions. Are they to be told that they cannot serve in public office, that they are not welcome in the public sphere unless the members of this committee sign off on their religious beliefs? I, for one, do not want to live in such an America, and the Constitution of the United States flatly prohibits it.
Good for Hawley. We Christians of all shapes, sizes, and colors could use probably a lot more defense these days out of our government because we get precious little of it. Good for him. Now, I do have something fascinating for you, and I am very, very fascinated by this. I want you to listen to Joe Biden's newest comments about court packing and such, because I have something we all need to think about.
Sir, I've got to ask you about packing the courts, and I know that you said yesterday you aren't going to answer the question until after the election, but this is the number one thing that I've been asked about from viewers in the past couple of days.
Well, you've been asked by the viewers who are probably Republicans who don't want me continuing to talk about what they're doing to the court right now.
Well, sir, don't the voters deserve to know?
No, where they don't. I'm not going to play his game.
Here's what's weird about the court packing thing, and this is odd. We know this. Look, they've pulled this 10,000 times, including recently. The public, believe it or not, both sides, the public is dead set against the next president of any party packing the court, adding a bunch of Supreme Court justices on there and just tearing up the court. That's something the public does not like. The public in general doesn't respond to anything radical, left or right. It's probably a good thing in the end, but the public hates this. As a politician running for office, Democrat or Republican, you are pretty much never given something that is easy. You know, even stuff that you or I may feel strongly about. Abortion, great example. I am extremely passionately anti-abortion. I would come out like that on the campaign trail and did when I ran for Congress. However, I was told, okay, half the people hate it and probably hate you now. That's almost every issue is as a politician. You're never handed a softball. Jesse, do you believe we should save injured puppies or not? You're never handed things like that. Joe Biden has been handed the easiest political question of all time as far as him being able to give an answer that will help him into the White House. The public feels really strongly one way about this. Joe Biden is running to be president of the United States. If he answers that he is against packing the court and won't do it, he improves his chances to be president. That is a fact. And he won't do it. So, how scared is Joe Biden of the leftist radical base? Really scared. Imagine being that close to being president of the United States and being handed the easiest choice in the world. It's a true or false question on your science exam. And you know what the answer is, and you can't make yourself check it because you're that scared of your base, possibly costing himself the presidency. That's frightening. One, it shows that Joe Biden is a spineless weakling. Two, It shows just how powerful the leftist space has become. Extremely. Trump responds.
I think it was a terrible thing to say. I think it's so disrespectful to the people. And he should have said something and, you know, say, look, to the best of my knowledge, this is probably what I do. I think what he said was so disrespectful to the process and to the people. What he said then was just disgraceful. But what that means, really, is that they're going to do it, okay? Because obviously that means 100% that's what they're going to do.
How can we assume anything but? If you won't answer it the simplest way, how can I do anything but assume you're going to take the stance you shouldn't take? That'll make you lose some sleep at night, right? Unless you have an ebb sleep. You know, I've been talking to you about ebb sleep for a long time now. And you know what really tied me into them? What really appealed to me before I even put one on my head? The fact that they'll let you try it risk-free for 60 days. 60 days! That's how confident they are that it works. It's not pills. It's not a pillow. It's not a new bed. It is a wearable device you put on your head that actually targets the reason you can't sleep. Those racing thoughts that go through your head a mile a minute, and I know how stressed out you probably are at this point in time. Guess what? I'm still sleeping like a baby every night because of Ebb Sleep. Go get yours today. It will change your life. Go to tryebb.com/Jesse. That's tryebb.com/Jesse. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you $25 off. We'll be back. Joining me now, as he does often and always will, Lord willing, Joseph Pinion III. I'm not even going to read his long title because we all know, as I've said, the man should be running the RNC. Joseph, I see another incident in Denver this weekend without going into the details of it. And I feel like this is more and more and more common now. These leftists. Violent attacks on somebody over something. I mean, I can't cover up my eyes to it now. Is this just in my head? Is this what we are now? Just we have to anticipate a leftist might shoot you in the face somewhere?
I mean, the hard truth of the matter is that at some point, it would behoove us as Americans to be able to say that there is justifiable reasons for people to protest, that America is literally built on protest from the day that we decided to throw tea into the harbor. But at the same time, murder is not protest, that assault is not protest, and that when people literally decide to take matters into their own hands, this type of vigilante justice, just because it happens to be in the name of leftist ideals, does not make it acceptable behavior here in the land of the home of the free and the brave. And so I think that that should be the focus right now, to get people to understand that we as conservatives are not talking about people's right to assemble. We're not talking about people's right to air their grievances. What we're talking about are people who have no respect for the law and no respect for the values upon which this nation was founded.
Isn't this inevitable, Joseph? When you have, honestly, when you have a bunch of people, especially this radical leftist base, they're not doing well mentally anyway. That's just, we've seen these people on TV. And then you have the most powerful figures in the leftist movement, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and otherwise, every day out there, Nazi, white supremacist, he's a white supremacist, take a look at that Nazi. Inevitably, somebody mentally is going to break and start doing something about those Nazis. I mean, it's inevitable.
Well, you have to start wondering, the same people who say that President Trump is stoking divisions spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week stoking division. And so I think if for whatever you want to say about the president, at some point, we just have to say that if your position is that we have to restore civility to the public square, then how are you modeling that behavior? When Martin Luther King says, you know, we cannot, you know, you have to, darkness can drive out darkness, only light can do that. We have to actually be a society that embraces that type of thinking, that embraces this notion that we have to always be appealing to our better angels. And you can't do that by basically modeling the type of behavior you seek to drive out of society.
Joseph, switching gears here, the Senate hearing. I got to be honest, man. I couldn't care less anymore. I'm so tired of senators going off on camera 10, 15 minutes at a time and then never doing anything. And we heard this about all the subpoenas that were coming and James Comey and John Brennan and Clapper's going to jail and all these things. And nothing ever happens. So tell me why I should care on either side, whether a Democrat or Republican's going to give another 15-minute fundraising speech and act like it's about ACB.
Look, this is not about ACB. This is about Democrats trying to hang health care like a bell around the neck of every senator who's on the ballot approaching less than 20 days here. This has very little to do with whether she will be confirmed or not confirmed. I think, again, if you're talking about the mainstream media and the political and the malpractice that they're actually committing right now, these are the same people who applauded John Roberts when he talked about the fact that we do not have Obama appointees and Trump appointees, that justices have the right to make up their own mind as they see fit based on the merits of the court. And yet somehow Democrats on TV, every time you change the dial, are suggesting that somehow the ACB has already made up her mind on a whole plethora of issues, some issues that haven't even been brought to the courts to have a determination made. So, look, we just have to be able to understand either we have a nation or we don't. Either we believe in the judicial branch or we don't. And if you don't, then that's fine, but let's just admit it frankly, and let's just pack up this experiment of democracy called America, because otherwise, we have to really, truly understand concretely that this nation is founded on disagreement. This nation is founded on being in love almost with the gridlock, as Antoine Scalia talked about. And if we don't have a way to love the process again, then the outcomes are going to be ones that are not deserving of what America has always been.
Joseph Pinion III, people, now you know, head of the RNC one day. Appreciate you, my man.
Thanks, brother. Talk soon.
All right. I am not trying to be some kind of weirdo doomsday prophet. I would never do that to you. However, we have deficit spending like we've never seen, printing trillions like we've never seen. At the same time, small businesses, that's half our GDP, are being slaughtered. How long do you think stocks and bonds stay high? You think that lasts forever? Do you honestly? I'm not telling you to divest. Take all your money out. Just get a gold IRA from Gold Alliance as part of your portfolio. Just part of your portfolio. Make sure you're protected. Go to goldalliance.com/Jesse. That's goldalliance.com/Jesse. They make it completely easy, but go before you have to go. We'll be back. Joining me now from Breitbart.com. I'm sure you read the Cartel Chronicles. If you don't, you should. It reads like a real-life Sicario all the time. Brandon Darby, the man knows more about the border than anybody I've ever talked to in my life. Brandon, why don't we hear about it anymore? I realize everything comes in cycles and there's an election coming up. I am certainly not under the impression that the border is just one gigantic Disney theme park now. What's happening?
Well, it's not a theme park. It's actually, some areas are much safer, some areas are much more secure, and other areas are much more dangerous. And especially south of our border, it's much more dangerous. And the situation for the migrants who come here is much more dangerous in Mexico. What's happening is that Democrats have moved on and are not talking about it any longer. For several months, we had nonstop attacks when they thought that they could use it against Trump. And when they realized that many of the attacks that they were lobbying against Trump were actually things that were initiated or continued from the previous administration, Democrats dropped it. I'd like to remind you that not very long ago, they were tweeting and saying that the ICE agents were literal Nazis and that detention facilities were literal concentration camps on the border. It was replete with AOC going down and crying at the fence with all of these congressional leaders. And then, like, all of the sudden, they just dropped it, which is the craziest thing, because if I sincerely thought that my government was running actual concentration camps and I publicly attacked that, I can't imagine that 30 days later I would drop the issue and then just never bring it up again. It's the craziest thing. And what it indicates is that they weren't very serious or sincere with their criticisms of ICE or of immigration facilities.
Why are things more dangerous down in Mexico? And more dangerous than what are we talking about? More dangerous than they were under Obama? More dangerous than 50 years? And if they are, why?
Well, I think things are back to levels that we saw in 2006, 2007, and from that period, roughly until the early teens of the 2000s. Things are dangerous because cartels are empowered. Cartels feel very empowered right now. They're fighting each other. Mexico has a government, has a president right now that has tried to take a hands-off approach and said, okay, look, we're not going to come after you. As long as you guys follow the rules and keep it quiet, we're going to leave you alone. And that hasn't worked out very well. You know, it's like doing that to ISIS or doing that to Hezbollah and saying, okay, we're just going to leave you alone. We're going to overlook it when you lob a couple rockets, but it's all good. You guys figure it out and calm down. And that hasn't worked. So that's why you see Mexico's public security secretary step down. Someone else is taking his place. It's because it's not working. So Mexico, many of the regions in Mexico out of 32 states, more than half of them, are actually under the control of paramilitary transnational criminal organizations. So,
wait, more than half of them?
That's correct, yeah. That's correct.
Oh, jeez. That is not good. All right, so, look, I hate to even ask the question because I think I already know the answer. Is this president bought?
Is he bought? I think it would be impossible to be a politician in Mexico on that level and not have ties to some transnational criminal organizations. I've yet to know, 10 years after the fact, or 5 years after someone leaves office, whether it's a governor or a president, I've not known any who haven't gotten caught up in having taken money from these groups. So it's unlikely that that's changed now.
Brandon, what can clean Mexico up? And I'll tell you this, full disclosure, as Brandon well knows, we're buddies. For the viewer, I love Mexico. It's one of my favorite places in the world. I love the people. I love the food. I love the beer. I love the beaches. I just think it's an awesome place. I actually think it's a cool culture and a cool heritage, and the place just sucks. How do you fix it?
Well, there's a lot to that. It kind of has to be a mix of things. It is true that we need to find ways for there to be, a better economic situation for different groups in Mexico. But it's also true that we need to go after certain cartels, and we need to go after them ruthlessly, and we need to make sure they're either incarcerated or killed. You know, some of these leaders and some of what they're doing. So the problem is there tends to be people who want to go after Mexican cartels and they want to crush everyone, right? And that there's legitimacy to that. But then the other problem is the other side wants to go in and just try to create jobs for everyone. And there's legitimacy to that. But really what we need is a mix of those two approaches. There's a lot of stuff that's necessary. You know, a lot of people tell me, they say, well, you know, you're so worried about Mexico, why don't you worry about us? And I'm like, well, I am worried about us, and I've learned that the way to make sure that we're okay is to make sure our neighbor's okay. We can build walls, we can go to war with cartels, we can use all types of advanced techniques and technologies to monitor cartels and get them. But the basic bottom line is things like building a wall, building a barrier, these are important parts of a multi-tiered solution. But ultimately, we're not going to be safe and okay on our border until Mexico's safe and okay at the border. And that's something we have to understand. You know, if you have an infection in one part of your hand and it's not in the other part, well, eventually it's going to be there, right? So you kind of got to treat the entire hand and then treat the entire body. You have to take a systemic approach to it, a holistic approach to it. And that's what I advocate for Mexico and for the border. I think ultimately Mexico will be okay, the more that Americans and others in the world know what's happening there. So one small part of what we do and what we can all do is make sure that we're as outraged about corruption in Mexico as we are about corruption here, at least half as outraged. When Americans are paying attention to Mexico and what happens there, Mexico tends to behave very differently. The corrupt politicians do, the corrupt judges do. People tend to behave very differently. But in the short term, we're going to have to take, like, our intelligence agencies, our law enforcement agencies, they're going to have to take a more aggressive posture towards transnational criminal organizations based in Mexico.
Brandon Darby, Breitbart.com. Go read the Cartel Chronicles. I always do. Appreciate you, my man.
Hey, thank you.
We have a valuable lesson for you and me and everybody. Hang on. All right. It's time to talk about manners briefly. First of all, I want you to enjoy this video. Don't worry, it's pretty quick. I'm going to play it for you a second time after I say something. Look at this video because we have to have a brief discussion on it. Manners. Parents, hear me now. There is an undeniable fact of life. Teach your child manners, and this is why. Not because it's fun, it's not fun. Keep your elbows off the table, say yes sir, no ma'am, hold doors open for people, don't speak while other people are speaking, you know, basic manner stuff, look people in the eye. It's not fun teaching them that. You teach your child manners, how to conduct themselves in this world, because if you don't, somebody will one day. More than anything else, wherever you are, left, right, no matter what it is, I have been dumbfounded by the people out there who actually think it's acceptable to scream in people's faces, to surround their vehicles, pound on windshields and such. That's somebody whose parents never taught them manners. So, the large gentleman at the end who came and spiked this person like a football, he had to teach the manners. I want you to just sit back and enjoy this one more time. I certainly did. Believe what you want to believe. Left, right, doesn't matter. Keep your hands to yourself. Keep your mouth shut. Everything will be fine. I'll see you tomorrow.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these farrier drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off.
This is an iHeart podcast.